hang around somebody long enough, you might go from best friends to the next phase. And so that got on his mind. But this is how I had to just really talk with him last night, that women will mess you up, son. They will mess you up because she told one of her friends that she liked Walker. Yeah. But this is how they mess you up. So they bait you in. So she said, I like him. Well, he sent the message back, I like her too. Well, then she went quiet on him. She got silent, you know. So he asked one of his friends, like, well, what did she say? What's going on? And his friend said, she's digesting it. Digesting it. Processing it. But she said, she's digesting it. I'm like, Walker, you're dealing with another species. Tread lightly. Be careful. We got to talk this one out. But I actually used that as our little devotion last night. I had him up in my bed, and we were talking about it. And I said, Walker, you know, that's probably not a bad thing, her digesting it. And if you can see how to appreciate that, because it had him tore up. Had him tore up out of the frame. He's like, I don't want to lose my friendship. She's been my friend, and now she's not even talking. And then he said, and we're not even doing projects together anymore at school because she's digesting it, Dad. And I'm like, just hold on. I said, you know what? Maybe her mom and dad said, no boyfriends, and she wants to figure out how to keep you as a friend. And then he said, well, I'm going to tell my friend to tell her that I didn't mean it like that. I just wanted us to remain friends regardless. And I said, son, you tell her that. And he said, no, Dad, I'm using him. He's going to tell her that. He said, you don't know my friend. And I said, you don't know women. She will appreciate it coming from your mouth, not his. You know, that works for a little while, and then things change. At some point, we move past the little slip letter, I love you, do you love me? Check yes or no. And in mine, you know, parentheses, please check yes. I mean, just sliding that in there. Please check yes. You know, just give them that one last consideration before you complain. Say completely no. But anyway, Luke 14 and verse 28 says this. And this was my devotion with him last night. I was practicing for y'all. But I asked him permission if I could lead in this morning with that. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? So all of a sudden, I started liking him a little bit. Just a little bit. She messed my son up, but I still like her a little bit. Because you got some principle. Don't just jump into it. See, I used to be, I have actually had a girlfriend that I never spoke to. She was my sister's friend, and I ran it through my sister if she liked me, and then we were all of a sudden going out. I have yet to this day to speak to her. Because I was informed about a week later, she started liking Brian Garrett. He had red hair, and I was really not understanding that whole thing. Still holding on to a little bit of baggage from the fourth grade. Didn't make sense to me. Communication. There's a lot going on here. But for somebody to consider something, Jesus is talking here. He's talking to his disciples about what it means to leave everything and to follow him. You know that's what we're supposed to do, is to leave everything and follow him. You understand that, right? He's drawing the comparison for us. Who doesn't count the cost? You know what he's saying in Emma's words? Who's not digesting it? It's not just taking a little time to digest it all. Because it's not just a one and done. I can't believe that it's just a one and done. I've got to believe that there needs to be some production in my life. And that this relationship grows and it gets better. Right? Right? All right, I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about our time and our time management, because your time management really boils down to your life management. And if you came today, see, I'm actually going to slide in something from our marriage conference that we're not having this year because we've kind of been going through something. But I promise you today could help you. So if your husband's here or if your wife's here, just look at him right now and say, this is going to help you today. I mean, you can say, I got this, but this is going to help you, honey. You need to be paying attention to this one. I've told you before that your time is your life. You got to recognize that your time is your life. And as things go on, there's things right now in your life, I guarantee you, there's things that you have time for, right? There are also things that, if it matters enough, you make time for. So you've got things that you have time for, and then you make time for things. But sometimes those things right there just need to reverse. Some things that you've made time for, you need to have time for that. And some things that you have time for, you might let a little distance go. I mean, you've got to figure this out for us, and this will make sense as we go. But managing your time will change your life. If you just let the day go, then the day will pass you by, and you won't have accomplished anything because you did not prioritize accordingly. Okay, so just take this concept. Success is what you give yourself to. If we're going to say your time is your life, your success is what you give yourself to. Take a guy named Tiger Woods. Y'all ever heard of him? You know how much time he spent in a day when he was winning all those championships, practicing and perfecting his golf swing, and just even able to read the land and all of those things. You don't get that good without investing a great deal of time. Take a guy like Michael Jordan. You remember him? He didn't just decide to play hoops every now and again. He played and he practiced and he practiced and he played. Kobe Bryant, I found out about Kobe Bryant, that he was the guy that would set his alarm for 3 a.m. and he would be at the gym at 4 a.m. by himself, making millions of dollars, practicing more than anybody. He was driven to practice that hard because he wanted to stay at that level, because he had a goal he wanted to achieve. Success is what you give yourself to. See, my son, 11 years old, he's got these guys in his life. He said, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be like him. So now I'm starting to tell him, well, if you're going to be like him, do you want to be married? Because you're going to have to give a whole lot of yourself to that if you're going to be that on that level. It's going to cost you. Success is what you give yourself to. Time, energy, and resources. Say that. Time, energy, and resources. You've got to learn to manage that. You've got to learn to manage that. You've actually got to be able to be really good with your time and your energy and your resources. Because we've all got the same amount of time, and we all have energy, and we all have some resources. Now, there may be some discrepancies there, but you get to choose how you use your time. Your time is your life. I'd say you need to take some time figuring out your time, because it's your life. Okay? All right. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. This is going to take a big shift, kind of. 1 Peter 3 and 7. Because I said I'm going to talk to the husbands and the wives today. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them. Talking about the wives. It's in the previous few verses, it's talked about the husbands and the wives. But I'm just pulling right here just for time's sake. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them according to... I tell you, do this, Emily. Can you bring the translations up? Do we have them? the King James. I want to do this scripture particularly in King James Version, because I just realized I'm reading out of my New King James. Does anybody have, okay, you got it. Yeah, that's the translation. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Huh. Like, okay, Lord, you threw that one in there. Live with her according to knowledge. Husbands, live with your wives according to knowledge. So it says it like this. Husbands, live with her according to knowledge. It doesn't go on and continue to read verses. And Pastor John, you just left the part out where she also lives with the husband according to knowledge, because it doesn't say that. It says, husbands, live with her according to knowledge. Now, I've given this example before, so I'm going to give it. Some things I do by repetition, but I've got some better examples coming. But we live with them according to knowledge. They don't have to live with us according to knowledge. Why? I mean, be honest, guys. There's not really that much to know. And the women laughed, but the men were quiet. We're scared. Women can do dishes and speak three different languages. They can get online and do all of their shopping and drink all of their coffee right then. They can get the house in order, dress the children, get a meal prepared. The husband can disappear down into the basement for 3 hours, come back upstairs with a model car put together, and say, look, honey, look what I did. And she says, that's good, honey, that's good. Because there's not that much to know. Now, all the men are mad at me, but the women are like, I kind of get that. She's patting his leg. They're nice to us. But what the scripture does say is that the woman is also, it is amazing. It's kind of crazy that it can say all of that, but then also put in there that she's the weaker vessel. It's kind of humbling when you think about it. Don't you appreciate, it's a good time right now to husbands, just put your hand over there and say, I appreciate you, honey, in all that you do. And the Bible says that she's the weaker vessel. So that makes you the what? Greater vessel. Can I tell you that we are made completely different, but together we are supposed to be something formidable and unstoppable. I'm proud of our marriage. We've been married 26 years almost. And I'm particularly proud of our marriage because there's a statistic that I need to vet this statistic out and find it. I probably should have done it before I said this, but I've heard it, and it came from a really good source, that 95% of families who deal with a child that has a congenital heart defect, 95% end in divorce. Weigh that one out. See, already, regardless of churched or unchurched, regardless of whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, the divorce rate is the same right now between believers and unbelievers. It's at 50%. 50%. We live in a time right now, just a few years, I think 2 years ago, or it was either 2 or 3 years ago, it changed, when now there are more children raised in single-parent homes than children that are raised in two-parent homes. That's changed. We live in a different world. And the world that we are a part of has a 95% divorce rate. So already, it's like one in two. I mean, and we look at it like we've fallen off the deep into something really scary. Can I tell you that marriage by itself is scary if the divorce rate is one in two? I mean, look around at the room and just say, well, good luck to us if that's how you're going to go. Because the statistic does not bear any strength for the side of the believer. I don't really understand that. But we're failing in some ways, if we're honest with ourselves. And I don't want to miss it. I'm all about the marriage. I'm always going to be for the marriage. I'm always going to be pushing for the marriage. I'm going to be pushing for it. Okay. I feel it tightening up in here just a little bit. See if I can loosen it back out. I have said your success is what you give yourself to. So if I'm going to talk about the marriage, the success of my marriage means I'm going to have to give myself to my marriage in large portion, in large fashion. And if I don't give a lot to it, I should not expect a lot back. What marriage calls for really should be easier for the Christian, because it calls for a culture of honor. It's completely true, but it's not that easy. It's obviously not that easy. So some things that have to change. Because here's the thing about honor. What you honor, you can access. You know what a lot of people talk about when they're having marital problems? Lack of access. Yeah, all the kids are in the back room, so y'all know what I'm talking about. Lack of access. And somebody comes along that offers a little access. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to just put two and two together and look at y'all like you don't understand what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about. But I want to help us. And I believe that the scripture will help us. Because what you honor, you can access. But what you dishonor, you're fooling yourself if you think you're going to be able to access that. What I said is, if you dishonor them, you are fooling yourself to think that access is going to be granted. Access will be lost, tucked away, shut away, sealed up. It'll be nothing but a faint memory. And it's not because you're in your 50s or your 60s or your 70s. It's because of dishonor. It's because of your success is not equaling success because you're not giving yourself completely to the process. And that's just the brass tacks of it. Now, what does the scripture say? Because I want to break the scripture down for you. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, according to honor, or according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife. Giving honor to the wife. I want access. I better honor her. As to the weaker vessel, man, this is going to make really good sense in a minute. Y'all might be like, where is he going? It's just kind of boring right now. He's just drilling us on all of our faults. I promise you, this is going to help you if you'll hang in there. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What? So he's telling me that there's this life that we should be living together, but I can do things that hinder our prayers. Your prayers may be hindered. There's something that I've had to learn about my wife. I'll share it with you. time, energy, and resources. We have the same amount of time in a day. But energy and resources are pulled on differently from her than there are from me. We function way differently. She is a person of huge order. I am not. She looked at me this morning and she said, John, you're going back to the way you used to dress. She said, you've gotten some nice clothes now. So my only response was, it's wet and rainy outside. I want them to stay nice. I'm wearing my cowboy boots. She's like, That meant, okay, this time. But then I'm starting thinking, my wife don't even like how I look. Based on my clothes. I said, I paid, some back history. I have so much pride in this shirt. This shirt's actually about 15 years old. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Amber, I apologize for their behavior. It's not very becoming. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I could hunt in this if I needed to. See, I mean, I could multitask. We're losing control, Lord. I'm sorry. But this thing had a $90 sticker on it when I bought it. But why I said I'm so proud of it, I paid $1.98. Brand new. Off the rack. It was one of those Dillard's moments when it's like, I can't even do the math. It's like 75% off with an additional 75% off and take 40% off of that. And if it's got a red marker line through it, take another 1,000% off of that. And I got up to the counter. I'm trying to figure out how much it is. I'm like, putting it, she's like, well, that's $1.98. I'm like, that's mine. I did it. I won. I felt like I won that day. So I want to celebrate that victory for years. And then she hits me with, so you're going back to the way you used to dress. Now, one of my proudest moments is when I would dress our kids. One of her least prideful moments is when I would dress our kids. Even right now, what you don't know, what you don't see, I got on my Clemson University socks that Debbie bought me. I wear those things. I love those things. I've got pictures of me watching TV in those socks, my feet propped up like that. So proud of them. I'm wearing them today. Amber, you'll love this. The Actitread socks that y'all give out, I've preached funerals in them. I've performed weddings in them. I love them. Hospital socks. Actitread. Y'all know. And the cool thing is you wear them out like this, then you just do that. Because they're Actitreads. They're meant for the long term. They're meant for guys like me. Actitreads. So anyway, now that you've got way too much information, let me explain this scripture and break it all the way down for you. I've learned this about my wife. As much order as she loves, something is going on. I noticed last night for the first time ever, my suitcase, I unpacked it. Her suitcases still aren't unpacked. Because something's going on that I need to bring honor to. This morning, I heard her walk into the bathroom. I heard her. I said, what is it? Is there something I said, what is it? She said, I can't find my jewelry. I said, can I help you? She said, no. But did you miss the exchange of honor right there? Trust me, there's nothing I could do to help her improve her jewelry situation. But the fact that I offered to help brought honor to it. Did you see that? Just a little bitty thing right there. Can I tell you, it took 26 years to figure those type things out. Here's the thing about being the weaker vessel. It's not about stacking up my talents versus her talents, because I think I would fall well short. Thank you, brother. You can quit amening me right there. I know you were there last year. I feel you, brother. But the truth is that even though we are very different in some ways, I've always called her, you know, we as a nicety, we call our wives our better half. I call her my better three quarters. And that's really trying, because I'm not good in math. I would give it a higher fraction, but I'm not sure what it is. But she's better. I view her as better than me. But I also know, I've learned what God says about her being the weaker vessel. And this is what I've learned about it. Has to do with capacity. 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 Because she pours out all day long. Capacity. And when I learned to honor that, things got better for me all the way around. We took this whole trip, and I did not rub up against her and say, you know, we're alone here now, don't you? Can I tell you, capacity poured out. You got to learn to recognize those things. Man, I'm telling you. Because I'm not telling you that she's the weaker vessel. God has told you that she's the weaker vessel. And he's not dishonoring her. He's actually trying to teach you to honor her in the fact that she does not have the capacity. So I'm going to use this as example. I'm going to read the scripture again one more time before I do. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That your prayers. This is one time in the Bible when it's talking about your prayers being hindered. These two tumblers, I think they're called, were bought at the same time. It's like you get six of these and you get six of these. This is the greater vessel. It's got more capacity. This is the weaker vessel. It's designed the same, but it doesn't have the same capacity. God has given her an incredible capacity, though. And God fills her up. And she is full. But she pours out, and she pours out, and she pours out, and she pours out. And even if she takes everything that she's got and pours it into me, what was once full is now empty. And it's completely poured out into me. But notice, I still have room. I need you to notice that. I still got room. Is anything going on? Is anything equating with that? You still got room. The fact that you've got room can open up all kinds of opportunities for problems in communication, expectations, anger. It's not that she wouldn't give more if she had it. She ain't got it. You can't give what you don't have. We're not that good. Can I tell you where problems occur 100% accuracy in the marriage? Because men, we haven't figured out that right there. What you do with that right there will have everything to do with your success right here. Everything. Yep.
I'm going to tell you what we've learned. When it gets to this point, guess what starts to happen? He's still got this much capacity he needs from me. I got nothing. This is what we have learned to do. He pours back into me. I'm completely empty. He walks in the office and asks me where the stamp is, and I start, I don't know. He could say, man, you're in a bad mood. I'm out of here. But he realizes I'm empty. I just spent 3 hours on the phone with insurance companies. I had to do horrible things. I had to call the funeral home to settle it. I'm done. I'm empty. There's nothing. So instead of that, he doesn't say, you're in a bad mood. I'm out of here. He says, what can I do to help you? How about we go out to dinner tonight? Just a little bit more. Just come here and let me put my arms around you. Just tell you how much I love you and appreciate all that you did today, whether he knows it or not. We've come to understand when I'm on empty, I have nothing else to give until I recharge. And guess who this is representative of in the Bible? Men are to love as who? Christ Jesus. So husbands, you are a direct reflection of Christ Jesus to your wife. Do you know how much more capacity he has to love when it's from Christ than from his own deficit and his own feelings of, well, I still have room. I need to be filled up too. Let me just tell you this. When I'm on empty and he's got this much room, Holy Spirit's got that covered all day long. And Holy Spirit fills him up and Holy Spirit allows him to pour back into me. It took us 24 years to figure this out. So we're trying to tell you this is truly how God made it to work. And it works. And it's powerful. And God made it this way. Not because you're not as strong as he is, but because he is supposed to represent Christ in your marriage. And so I just wanted to share that part of it from my perspective, that it is healing. And it is what you say to her when you say, fix it, you're telling her to go make something she can't make. She can't fill this back up. It has to be filled. She's on empty. It can't be filled back up. She has to have that pouring back in that the Holy Spirit gives to you, that ministry to her. The Bible talks about cleansing her with the washing of the word. He'll say to me sometimes, let's just stop and pray. Let me just put my arms around you and just pray over you. I know you're on empty today. And that is what starts to pour life back into me.
Amen. Every time I pour back into her, that brings honor back into her. It honors her. It opens up access for me where there was none. That your prayers may not be hindered. You know what I'm praying? In my immaturity, I was praying, God, help her. Help her to see I got needs. Help her to see what I need. Help her to see me. You know, I'm sitting over here and you know, I'm mad now. And I'm praying to God to help her see. You know what she's praying? God, help him understand I'm out. I'm empty. I don't have anything left. Do you think God's up there choosing, well, you know, which one of y'all sowed the biggest seed? That's the one. It just gets into all kinds of stupidity real quick. Unless we realize what fills this in me is very dangerous. Or it could be completely beneficial. Because the Holy Spirit will fill that capacity. He'll take that. And I started realizing things about my wife. When things would happen in my life. See, she's to pray for me and I'm to pray for her. And something would happen in my life and it would be big. And I found out that she had already been praying about that thing. I'm like, how did you know? It's because we didn't let something interfere with the prayers. We didn't let just let interference happen. This is God's thing. This isn't just a good example. This is God's thing. If we did this, we wouldn't have the problems that we have. We wouldn't have the issues that we have. And we're only sharing it with you because we found out that it's true. We found out that it works. Do you feel like you got just sharpened your arrows a little bit? Your time is your life. You're responsible for what you know. And that is a good teaching to help you advance your marriage, advance your relationship with your wife. But you said something so powerful. There's a scripture that says that the husband is actually supposed to wash his wife with the water of the word. Did I tell you the problem with that? In America, the problem with that is most women know the word better than their husbands do. How can he wash her with something he doesn't have? That's harsh. But that's a fact. You know what your kids need to see more than your old basketball skills, your old football skills, your old highlight reels? They need to see that Dad worships the Lord and honors his wife, honors mom at home. Because your children will test the waters of dishonor in her presence. And then they'll get to the place where they test the waters of dishonor in your presence too. And you know what they need to say? Oh no, son, hold on a second. We don't talk to mom like that. You know what will confuse the crap out of them? If you're dishonoring mom in front of them, but you're telling them not to dishonor mom in front of you. That's called jacking your kids up. However you were raised, you can take the responsibility now to change it. Change it. What am I going to do with this, Lord? Lord, why don't you fill me on up? Can I tell you, if you're full of her and you're full of him, she's not going to be afraid of you. She's empty. She's going to want you to pour back into her. It's how it works. It's his plan. Because you know what he wants? Oh, Lord, I'm probably going to run out. Yep, I dare not. Imagine both of them full. That's what he wants. And it's possible. But it's only going to happen when we realize we've been reduced to him supplying all of our need. You're going to be needy. Everybody in this room. There's going to be times, believe it or not, when she's needy more than you. Very rare times, indeed. But it's attainable and it's possible. And this is meant to encourage you today. This is meant for honor to come back into your home. This is meant for you to look at him and him to look at you in a different way as God would have you see. Because we're actually supposed to honor her and love her as Christ loves the church. Do you know what that makes you, men? It makes you a first. It makes you a first. Gone are the days when you're waiting on her to apologize for everything so that things can go back to the order. What did Jesus do for the church? He did every first thing that could be done for the church. So you know what we're supposed to do, husbands? First to forgive. Not first to, what have you done wrong since the last time I told you what you did wrong? Told y'all this a few months ago, several months ago, but when we first got married, she had an accident in a parking lot. Called me crying. I just bought a brand new car. First new car I'd ever bought. She got in a wreck in a parking lot. I was so wise that I said, "Did it tear the car up?" Probably the worst thing I could have said. You know what she wanted me to say? See, all the women got it. Are you okay, honey? We can get another car. That's just a thing. Are you okay? But I was so smart. I needed to let her know that she had done wrong. I'm willing to forgive it, but after she realizes how bad she just did, that's not what she needed at all. But as I've grown, and some days have turned into months, and some months have turned into years, and some follicles have just completely quit. I'm not who I once was. I've learned a few things. And it's up to me to not just establish a culture of honor, but to feed a culture of honor. Honors, I mean, culture is just what you do. Culture is just what's normal for you. We wear clothes in the United States most of the time because it's our culture. There's some places they hardly wear any clothes. It's their culture. It's just what you do on a regular basis. Honor on a regular basis. Will you come play, honey? Please. Can I get that for you?